We want to turn our attention again to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. Mark, chapter 5. And I want to begin reading at verse 17. The fifth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, Mark, chapter 5. And I will begin reading at verse 17. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. And have had compassion on thee. Great things. Our God is great. And our God is awesome. He can do the unbelievable. And he can accomplish the impossible. He can do what can't be done. And he can provide what seems to be unavailable. He can open doors that can't be shut. And he can shut doors that can't be opened. He can take the mundane and do the magnificent. He can use misery to work a miracle. He can take your mess and do the miraculous. Our God is a great God who can do great things. He can take your little and come up with plenty. He can take a handful of nothing and provide you with more than you can handle. He recycles trash into treasure. He finds gold in the garbage. He does more with a little than you can do with a lot. He can take scraps and provide plenty. He can use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Ours is a great God who can do great things. Hear me, even though we tend to live small lives, we serve a great God. Even though we are often satisfied with a little, we have a God who is more than enough. We serve a great God who does great things. Because we serve a strong God, we don't have to live a powerless life. Because God is bigger than our trouble, we don't have to walk around with the weight of the world on our shoulders. Because God is above all things, we need not fear anything nor anybody. We serve a great God who does great things. I tell you, if God is great, there ought to be some greatness in your life. If we serve an almighty God, every now and then we ought to see some awesome stuff. If God can do all things, we ought to do something. If our God has all power, we shouldn't be walking around powerless. Ours is a great God who can do great things. We serve an awesome God who has called us to an awesome task. We serve a great God who can do the impossible and would have us to witness the unbelievable. We serve a great God who can do what can't be done and would have us to talk about what the Lord has done. Ours is a great God who does great things. We serve an awesome creator who has called us to an awesome task. Every now and then we ought to be a witness to something great. Every once in a while, we ought to have a testimony about the great things that the Lord has done. There's really no reason to be in the church if you can't talk about what the Lord has done. You don't need a title, you need a testimony. It's not enough to be baptized, you need to be a witness. Not only do you need to know your Bible, you need to have had an encounter. You don't need a theological degree. You need a divine happening in your life. You ought to know what the Lord has done. There ought to be more to your religion than what you heard. There ought to be something that you know. You need more than a bunch of historical facts. You need some current events. You need to know what great things the Lord has done. Not the ordinary and not the everyday. Not the run of the mill, the mundane and the common. But there ought to be something great that the Lord has done. There ought to be something that was done and you know that only a God could do. There ought to be something that has gone down that had little to do with luck and nothing to do with skill. You ought to know for yourself what great things the Lord has done. You shouldn't be in the church because of who the saints are, but I'm here because of what the Lord has done. Don't join because of the preacher. Join up because of the gospel. Don't get carried away by the singing of the choir. Make sure you got your own song that the angels cannot sing. You ought to be in the church because of what the Lord has done. You ought to have a testimony about the great things that the Lord has done. Like Moses, you need to have your own burning bush. Like Jacob, you and the Lord need to have wrestled all night long. Like Samuel, you need to be able to say, hush, somebody's calling my name. Like the man with the withered hand, you ought to have the testimony, I looked at my hand and my hand looked new. Like blind Bartimaeus, you ought to be able to testify, I once was blind, but now I see. You ought to know for yourself what great things the Lord has done. That's what we have in the text. We have someone who knows what the Lord has done. Not only did the brother hear about Jesus, the brother had an encounter with Christ. This is someone who has firsthand knowledge about the Lord. He's not talking about hearsay or a rumor. He needs no scripture and he quotes no Bible. He needs no theological rhetoric or religious jargon. He does not know ecclesiastical protocol or the art of public speaking. All he knows is what the Lord has done. All he knows is he was lost until he found the Lord. He was helpless till the Lord helped him out. He was living in hell till he met the one who came down from heaven. He was down and out till the Lord reached down and picked him up. This man knows for himself what great things the Lord has done. Jesus says, tell your friends and tell your family. Tell your neighbors and tell your acquaintances. Tell your homies and tell your dogs. Tell your buddies and tell your partners. Tell them what great things the Lord has done. Tell those who care about you and tell those who don't want to be bothered with you. Tell those who are glad you changed and tell those who don't believe the change is real. Tell them all what great things the Lord has done. Now hear me. Jesus does not send the man to argue. He sends the brother to testify. He does not tell him to convince the folks. He just tells them to talk about the Lord. He does not send him to save. He sends him to inform. He's not to convince them. He just has to tell them. Tell what great things the Lord has done. Tell what the Lord has done for you and tell what the Lord has done with you. Don't take a text. Just give your testimony. Don't stand in the pulpit, but tell it in your house. Don't tell what you heard. Talk about what you know. Don't try and be profound. Just tell your story. Don't try and impress them with your speech. Just inform them about your blessing. Tell them what great things the Lord has done. Don't talk about Moses at the Red Sea. Talk about how God helped you pay your bills. Don't talk about what happened at the grave of Lazarus, but tell how when you were down, the Lord picked you up. Tell what great things, I wish I could preach in here. Tell what great things the Lord has done. Don't talk about the preacher, but tell how you were blessed by the gospel. Don't talk about the choir, but talk about the Christ. Don't talk about what somebody didn't do, but talk about what the Lord has done. Jesus says, tell somebody what the Lord has done. What great things the Lord has done. Don't talk about church folks. Talk about Jesus Christ. There ought to be something. There ought to be something that happened in your life, and you know the Lord did. And you can't blame the saints or give credit to the church. I tell you, you need to be in the church, and yet you need a testimony that's independent of church folk. The church can help you grow in Christ, but you need knowledge about Christ independent of the church. See, you don't join the church to meet Christ. You come to church knowing the Lord's with you. You don't come here looking for Christ. You come here because you have already found the Lord. You don't come to church depending on the saints. You come to church because you know the Savior. Like Jeremiah, you already got a fire shut up in your bones. Like David, you able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Like Isaiah, you've seen the Lord for yourself, high and lifted up. You need your own song. You need your own story. You need your own day. You need your own testimony. You need your own day and your own encounter. Or you may not know Hebrew, but you need to hear from heaven. You may not understand Greek nor speak in tongues, but you ought to know who called your name and who saved your soul. Tell what great things the Lord has done. Oh, I tell you, I'm glad that I serve a God who can do great things. I'm glad that my God is a great God who can do great things. I'm glad that my God is an awesome God. I'm glad that he can do the unbelievable and accomplish the impossible. My God does great things. I don't think y'all hear me. My God does great things. Not just the mundane and the ordinary. Not just the common and the everyday. Not just what you expected. Not just what you have seen. But my God does great things. Healing the sick and raising the dead. Great things. Giving sight to the blind and freedom to the bound. Great things. Opening doors and making a way out of no way. Great things. Saving the lost and giving joy to the sad. Great things. My God does great things. Oh, is there anybody up in here who can talk about great things? Do you have a story to tell about what the Lord has done? Oh, I'm sure you have a complaint, but I want to know, do you have a testimony? I know you got some problems, but I wonder, have you ever seen a miracle? I know that somewhere along the way, somebody did you wrong and let you down, but has the Lord ever done something for you? Is there any great thing that the Lord has done? I tell you, it doesn't make sense to serve a mighty God and yet live a minor life. What use is a God who has the whole world in his hand and you can't get a handle on your life? If you serve a great God, you ought to be a witness to some great things. A Peter who walks with Jesus ought to know how to walk on the water. And Elijah who believes in prayer ought to know how to call down fire from heaven. A Paul who saw a blinding light ought to have sufficient grace. You ought to be a witness to great things. You can't know the Lord. I don't believe you can know the Lord and then find life to be ordinary. You can't be born again and never be a witness to the spectacular. You can't know the worth of prayer and not see the Lord do something wonderful. Tell what great things the Lord have done. Oh, let me slow up here. In our text, we see a crazy man dealing with a crisis. The man has no clothes and has no shame. And has no home. He has no roof to cover his head. And he has no clothes to hide his shame. The living are afraid of him. And he's more at home with the dead. Because his life has come to a dead end. He takes up residence in a graveyard. He is disheveled and unkempt. There's drool on his chin and wildness in his eye. The man didn't have a broken home. He had a divided personality. He didn't know who he was, and he was trying to be who he was. Some of us don't know who we are, and we try to be what we ain't. He was not a personality. He was a battleground. Instead of his body being the home for his soul, he had become a boarding house for the demonic. I tell you, the man was crazy, and the man was pitiful. There was no unity to his being, and there was no peace in his soul. What he does with his body is not what he wills from his heart. He says what he says what he does not mean, and he cannot do what he wants to. He yearns for the right, but is drawn to the wrong. He wants to be an eagle, but he finds himself sleeping with the pigs. Brother man is crazy, and brother man is pitiful. He's a divided personality. He's a wretched soul undone. Night and day he was howling in the tombs and cutting himself on the stones. No one had to harm him because he was always fighting with himself. His worst enemy was himself. He did more harm to self than could be inflicted by another. Society couldn't help him, and he was bent on destroying self. The world had no power to save him, but he by his own hand was being killed. The man was a wretch. He was in turmoil all by himself. He could find no peace living alone. He didn't need an enemy. He was going to kill himself. I tell you, you can't be happy with those around you if you're not happy with the you that's in you. If there's a storm in you, there'll always be storm clouds around you. You can't keep the peace if you don't have any peace. Brother man is a wretch undone because he hated himself. It's impossible for him to love others. He couldn't deal with what he was, and he didn't like what others thought about him. Because he was big on self-inflicted pain, he was eager to hurt others. Because he was possessed by the powers of hell, he wanted to give everybody the devil. The man was a wretch. Luke says, brother man was labeled incurable. He had no hope for himself, and he had no hope for, and society had no hope for him. Society had tried, but society had failed. No man could tame him, and no preacher could help him. No church could save him, and no agency could reach him. No doctor could cure him, and no lawyer would defend him. Brother man was in a fix. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but when I met the Lord, I too was in a fix. When the Lord came into my life, I was in a jam, in a mess, and in a fix. I was on my way to hell and was dumb enough to think I was enjoying the trip. I was down with no way to get up. I was lost and didn't want to be found. I was in a world of sin, in a valley of trouble. No peace and no joy. No friend and no family. No light and no vision. No health and no strength. No morals and no shame. No love and no feeling. I was way down yonder by myself. I was in a world of sin, in the valley of trouble. But I tell you, I'm able to testify that when nothing else could help, love lifted me. That's the good news. That's the good news of the text. When you're in real trouble, Jesus is a troubleshooter. When you're at a dead end, Jesus can make a way out of no way. When you're down and out, he can pick you up and turn you around. When you're hated by others, you can be loved by Christ. That's what happened in the text. Jesus did what others could not do. Mark says no man could tame him, but Jesus delivered him. No one could help him, but Jesus saved him. Nobody could reach him, but Jesus touched him. What people couldn't do over the years, Jesus the Christ did in a moment. Help me, Holy Ghost. That's what it is to talk about great things. That's what it is to tell what the Lord has done. When you talk about great things, when you talk about what the Lord has done, it ought to be what no one else could do. That's the great things. What nobody else could do, the Lord has done. When no one else could deal with me, the Lord went on and loved me anyhow. When nobody else wanted to be bothered, the Lord took time to come and see about me. When nobody else thought I was worth a dime, the Lord paid the price on a hill called Calvary. That's what it is to tell what great things the Lord has done. Oh, I say again. I tell you, you ought to be a witness. You ought to be a witness to what the Lord has done. Everybody. I said everybody ought to have their own moment, their own day. You ought to have your own story and your own testimony. You ought to know for yourself what the Lord has done. I wouldn't serve a God who didn't do something first. I wouldn't try to run this race based on what mama told me and the preacher said. But to make this journey, I got to know the Lord for myself. To walk this road, I got to know what the Lord has done for me. It's not enough to read the Bible. I need a meeting with the author. It's not enough to know a song. I need a melody in my heart. It's not enough to live a clean life. I got to know the Lord for myself. And I just wonder, do you know him for yourself? Has he ever done anything for you? Did he open a door? And did he ever make a way for you? Because if the Lord's been good, if the Lord's been kind, well, you ought to tell somebody what the Lord has done. If the Lord did something in your life, you ought to be a witness to the world. Tell what the Lord has done. My Bible still says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And my Bible still says that the redeemed of the Lord ought to tell the story. The touched and blessed ought to show some sign. The saved and delivered ought to tell somebody. Tell somebody what the Lord has done. If you've been healed, you ought to talk about the doctor that never lost a patient. If you were ready to call it quits and yet the Lord revived your soul, you ought to tell somebody about the power of the Holy Ghost. Tell somebody what the Lord has done. If the Lord's been good, tell it. If the Lord's been kind, tell it. If the Lord started you on your way, tell it. If the Lord saved your soul and changed your name, tell it. If he healed your body, tell it. If he touched your spirit, tell it. If he changed your name, tell it. If he picked you up, tell it. If he heard your cry, tell it. If he answered your call, tell it. Tell somebody what the Lord has done. If you've been redeemed by the blood, if you've been filled with the spirit, tell it. If you've been saved by grace, touched and blessed, tell it. If you've been delivered from death and sure of heaven, tell it. If the angels in heaven done sign your name, tell it. Tell somebody what the Lord has done. I don't know how you feel about it, but every now and then I got to tell somebody what the Lord has done. Now, when I first got delivered, when I first got saved, I wanted to be cute. I wanted to be dignified. I said I wasn't gonna tell nobody, but I found out I just can't keep it to myself. I got to tell somebody what the Lord has done. I'm too blessed to be quiet. I'm too saved to be shy. I'm too delivered to be still. I'm too happy to hold my peace. I gotta tell somebody what the Lord has done. Sit down for a minute. I'm not through, but I'm gonna quit. Holy Spirit just dropped something in my heart. If you go back, I learned this from Reverend Pulley. If you go back to the start of the text, it says clearly that when Jesus stepped on the shore of the land of the Gadarenes, which was a Gentile land, that's why they had pig, because Jews don't eat pig usually. Now I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me. I'm gonna need some help. You two preachers, stand up. I want y'all to stand right there, because I'm gonna need some help for what I'm gonna do. And I'm gonna need some help. When Jesus steps on the shore, the word says that the man who is possessed of demons goes running to Jesus and falls down and worships. And it's in his falling down to worship that causes the devils to ask for a new home. Now the man couldn't talk for himself. The devil had control of his tongue. The devil had control of his speech. But even though he couldn't talk for himself, he could fall down. And this is what happened. When he fell down, couldn't say nothing, but just lifted up his hand. Couldn't speak for himself, but just laid himself down before the Lord. Well, when he fell down, goodness and mercy picked him up. You don't hear me? When he fell down and gave God worship, goodness picked him up. He couldn't walk for himself. He couldn't decide where he was going to live. He couldn't decide how he was going to behave. But one thing he could do, he could worship. And if all you can do is fall down, because he'll pick you up. He'll turn you around. Hey, just fall down. And when you fall down, the devil will get nervous. And you won't have to put him out. He'll start looking for a new place. Just give him worship. Just give him praise. Come on and praise him for a little while.